You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hello, hello. Test, test, 1, 2. I'm Captain Dean. Welcome to another episode. My guest today is the former lead singer of History of Violence, but he's also well known as a fantastic drummer. Bands like Hollow Point, September Theory, Silent from the Struggle, Perfect Enemy, but most notably, Despite the Fallen.
Yeah.
Todd Hogan, welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you for being here. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
You guys are doing a lot of work lately.
Yeah. We took a little break. We're kind of getting back out there doing shows again now. So.
Yeah. Not too long ago, we just played a show back to back. I played the night before, and you guys were there.
Looking for a little note back there or something.
I should have left you a present.
I've done that with drummers before.
Well, Todd, you've been a part of this local music scene for a long time.
I have. I can't even tell you the number of years, honestly.
But you're not only involved in bands, obviously, as a musician. You're also involved offstage as sound man at Dublin's. Yeah. You've been there for how long?
I've been on 6 years.
Yeah. And you just said before we started rolling, you also booked shows at the Parish Center.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, I guess when I first got involved in the whole scene, they started doing shows at Cave City at the Factory.
Yeah.
Like,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, like Jalam and Sixth
Floor.
There's
a lot of history up at the Factory.
So after that, you know, they quit having those shows there. And there's, I think Cody Meek was the first one to probably book the Paris Center with Pilot.
Yeah.
I just kind of, I don't know, I was like, I want to put my own show together. So I did. And
that's cool.
Went really well. And so I just kept doing it there for the longest time. Until somebody set the dumpster on fire and ruined the shows there.
Yeah, they did. Well, before we get into the whole spectacle of what you've got to say about your music involvement in the Bowling Green music scene, where are you from?
I'm originally from, I was born in Louisville, but I lived in Evans County most of my life.
Okay.
I moved to Bowling Green last year, finally, so.
You're right. You were living in Smiths Grove
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So. You're in the Warren County area.
Yeah, it's all the same.
And when did you get into music?
Because
you play, you're a vocalist, you're a really good singer, but you also play guitar, but you're known as a drummer.
Yeah,
drumming
I
is
mean,
your full-time instrument.
Yeah, drumming's something I've always liked over everything else,
but
really.
When did all of this come to you?
When I was little, I started learning guitar, but my aunt, she used to always take us to Guntown Mountain. They have like a country music band they're playing. There's I think his name was Mikey is the drummer up there, but he's really good. I mean, even though it's country, but it just kind of got me started wanting to play drums. So,
well, live country is usually pretty, you know, jarring. It's always been more, I don't know, intense live than on the records. The records were always pretty tame.
But he's just real active, you know. He like stand up and stuff like that, and you know, it's just cool to see behind
he's
drums. You know,
entertainer.
But, so. Back then, I just get out pots and pans and beat on them. So, till finally, my grandparents bought me a drum set. So,
that's cool.
My first drum set, though, was a Smurf drum set. Had paper heads. So, like 2 days in, I destroyed all the heads. So.
Hey, can we get some Remo replacements on these things? Or you're an Evans guy, aren't you? Evans?
I play Evans now. Yeah,
that's what
I
thought.
Yeah.
Haha, I know my shit. So what year was that? How old were you?
I was probably about 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you started on drumming or just kind of tinkering with music in general?
Yeah, just started with a little bit of guitar first. Then, so I'm not the greatest guitar player. I can't really tell you a single chord, but.
Yeah. But you know what to do.
I know what to do.
You know where to put your fingers.
I learned everything by ear when it comes to drums and all that, too. So.
Yeah. So as you went on with your dabbling in the instrument world, when did you start getting into bands?
In high school, actually, I guess probably about my freshman, sophomore year, which I was in a high school band as well, marching band and all that.
Okay.
But, so that's where I met other talented people, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we never played out or nothing like that. So.
And was this in Louisville?
No, it was in Evanston
County. Evanston
County,
okay.
Yeah.
You were just born in Louisville.
Yeah. Yo Cards.
That's true. You are a Cards fan.
I am diehard.
And I am a diehard Wildcat fan. But we're going to make it through this interview. So Evanston County marching band or just
I was in
marching band and school band,
pet band, classic, so all that good stuff.
And you took all of the knowledge from that, I'm assuming, and somehow turned it into drum kit?
Kinda. Yeah. I mean, like a marching band or a drum line, we just ignore all the sheet music and do whatever we want, really.
Right, but right. Kind of learned by ear, I think.
Yeah, because that sheet music kind of gets boring, you know?
We got to add some flair to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when did you, I don't know, I mean, like you said, you were a lead vocalist in a band. I know you play guitar and write songs on your own, but you are primarily known as a drummer.
Yeah.
When did you get your first band rolling and stuff?
Like I said,
it was in high school.
Like I said, we never played.
I'm really good at asking the same question.
Oh, it's
twice.
Fine.
I've noticed that. Listen back.
I've asked
it
five or six times myself. But it was a high school. We never played out or nothing. So it's really
straight up garage band. Learning how to work
the
craft and all that stuff.
We thought we were good, but
you were.
I'd hate to hear the home recordings now.
So. Learning the craft of the instrument, when did you actually get into your first real band?
I guess probably my first real one was a band we actually played a show. It was a band called Drained. It was different.
And who was in that band?
Oh, God.
It's going to get complicated here.
Yeah. I mean, it's really nobody that's in bands no more. That's the thing about it. Like, it's kind of, after that, didn't even play no more, really.
Right.
So.
Okay, but you continued on.
I did.
And what year was that?
Man.
Oh, my God. I'm throwing the curveballs left and right.
You're going to make me sound old now. I can't.
Yeah, I'm going to make you sound old. That's funny. Let me scratch the gray hair in my beard.
I mean,
tell me how old you are.
It was easily early 2000s, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you first, like, band, playing out like a band of substance.
We played one show at the Paris Center. That was it.
But when did you like you said? History of Violence was like
a History of Violence. That was I guess that was right when I turned 21. So
okay,
I'm having to count back to years, man.
I know it's terrible, isn't it?
But yeah, I was lead vocalist. A lot of screaming. It was pretty heavy.
You were screaming.
Chris Chapman is actually the drummer in it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So. Doc Chapman on the drums. That's cool.
Yeah. And Brandon Lindsay, he played guitar. He was also in September Theory, Silent from the Struggle and Perfect Enemy as well. So
okay.
And Hollow Point, actually. So, me
so
and
he
him
was kinda, with you for a while.
Yeah, me and him kind of stuck together. And
yeah. So when did that band get started, History of Violence?
Like I said, it was probably about, I'd say 2005.
Yeah, when did you turn 21? Narrow it down to some sort of date.
Hey, I'm still 21, okay? I'm just staying there.
Yeah, we're all mentally 21. But that was pretty active, right?
Yeah,
you all played the
active.
Scene?
Yeah, we played out of state quite a bit.
Yeah.
Around Bowling Green. We played at Grumpy's quite a bit.
And I've learned this recently. Grumpy's was over there off Louisville Road by Tattletales.
No.
No, is that wrong?
It was actually by 231 up here. The bar of many names.
Oh, that bar.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking, okay, I confused it with the Orange Bar.
Which is once Berlin's
as well.
I'm good at this.
I
promoted shows at Berlin's as well.
I said something in one podcast at one point that there needs to be an episode just of somebody to set straight the clubs and where they were and the names. And especially that one on Morgantown Road.
Right, it's been a lot.
Because it went through like 20 names in a span of like 5 years.
It did. I mean, it's a great little place to play, honestly. I always had fun there.
Everyone liked playing there.
Yeah.
And I think because of two reasons. It was off the beaten path.
Right.
And therefore, you're out of kind of the city limits in a way. You're next to a liquor store and a convenience store. And you could get super loud.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the heavy bands played there.
Yeah.
So obviously you guys fit in good with that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So that was History of Violence. Yeah. You were the lead vocalist of that.
I was. Yeah.
So when did you make the transition to wanting to be a drummer full time?
Well, I mean, even then I was still drumming, but after that we just found a, you know, after History of Violence fell apart, I don't know if you remember Wade Tucker, he played drums in Pilot for a while and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually a singer of Hollow Point. So another drummer could sing really good, so it's crazy.
We're a melting pot of talent around here, aren't we?
Which Hollow Point, it had Kenny Abney as well, which he played in Donna Someone
Else.
Dose.
Because that's the logo always said Dose. Which was cool. They were a really active band for a while. You guys did several shows with them, from what I recall.
Yeah.
So that was Hollow Point.
Yeah, that was Hollow Point.
And how long did that last?
I'll say probably not even a year.
And it led into September Theory?
Yeah, which was still basically the same guitarist and drums and bass. We switched vocalists and switched the name as well.
Right.
So, and then after that, me and Brandon Lindsay, we we met Silent from the Struggle playing a show at Wick's Pizza in Louisville. They was already a band. They just kind of lost some members, so they asked me and Brandon to join, so we did that, and it was a great, probably 3 or 4 year run with Silent from the Struggle.
Yeah.
Did a lot of things. But
I thought you have been active a lot in the local Louisville music scene.
Yeah.
So you kind of float back and forth between Bowling Green and Louisville.
Yeah.
So Silent from the Struggle led into Perfect Enemy.
Yep.
And how long did that last? And who was in that? Same bass player, right?
It was same guitar players, actually.
Yeah? So you just changed names.
That bass players and vocalists.
Yeah. But obviously, you've landed in Despite the Fallen.
Yeah.
And Despite the Fallen is the band that I think anyone listening to this would not only recognize you as the guy at Dublin's, which you've been there for a long time, but this is the main band that you have been in for a long time.
Yeah.
And I would say at this point, if I was to guess, Despite the Fallen has been a band for at least 5 years.
Yeah, it's going on. It'll be 6 years come August.
Okay.
Actually, my birthday is the first day we had a practice.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now, that's a date you can nail down.
Yeah,
right?
I remember
that
one.
Remember that one. And it's been 21 ever since. So, yeah, when I first met you, Despite the Fallen was rolling pretty good.
Yeah, you did our first ever shirts for us.
I did print your old shirts.
I remember I posted a status looking for somebody because the people that backed out on us to do them. And Tammy Wilson actually tagged you in the post.
Yes.
So,
thank you, Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy. She's awesome people.
Tammy is the awesomest of awesome. She is pure Bowling Green music scene, that's for sure. So Despite the Fallen gets rolling. It's a great name. I've always thought it was a cool name. And, of course, everyone breaks it down to DTF, which is always cool.
Yeah, we actually did a run of T-shirts with who's DTF question mark on the back. So.
But that was my introduction to meeting you. Obviously, I had a lot of respect for you as a drummer.
Great.
But we got to know each other in music in general.
Yeah,
and we'd see each other at shows. We played a few shows together, which I was always proud of that.
I ran sound for you a couple of times at Dublin's as well.
At Dublin's, that's right. But you've been at Dublin's for a while. So, again, like as far as the Bowling Green music scene goes, you're involved on and off stage.
I am, yes.
You've been at Dublin's for how long?
Well, it's going on 6 years at you.
Yeah.
And I started working there.
About the
same time the band started jamming. So.
So you've run sound there for a while.
Yeah.
You DJ in between breaks, which is not hard. I filled in for you for a little bit. Remember that?
You did.
It was about 3 weeks or something.
It's a show you see there.
The band would take a break. You push a button, and it plays this music from some
Spotify.
Spotify, just dance music. Push the button.
And they start dancing.
I always thought I could be a DJ. It was easy. That's when the people would come out. And nobody gave a shit when the band was on stage, but you push that button, man. Woo! Turns into a party. So you've been doing that for a while, and obviously you've had like shows at the Spillway. And obviously you're really on the promotion side
of
things. You're really good at booking shows for not just you but other bands.
Yeah.
And obviously you do a lot of bookings of other bands but your bands as well. And you know, obviously that's smart.
Definitely had the experience.
It's easy to do. It's like, I'll go through all this trouble for your band, but my band gets to open for you. But you used to have these Todd Hogan birthday bashes.
Yeah.
You still do those?
I haven't done it in a while. I kind of felt egotistic every time I did it, honestly, but
no. Then start celebrating it for Johnny Walker birthday bash.
We don't want that.
It'd be a night of many stories. But the band Despite the Fallen started out who was in the original lineup?
It was myself, Sam Trulock, Tim Duke, Cody Dennison on bass, And Rusty Abney was our first vocalist.
That's right. Yeah. And you guys did go through a vocal thing for a while. I remember Trevor Smith was in
after
your
Rusty
band
it was
bit.
Nick Miller.
Yeah.
And then Trevor, he filled in with us for a while, yeah. And then we got Cody in there. So
you mean Johnny?
Cody, Johnny, whatever.
Man,
goes by.
Get it right. When I did his podcast, I was like, "Who are you?" But yeah,
anybody can change their name on Facebook.
But he's been with you for a while, and I know that not only are you two and Despite the Falling together, but you do like a little duo thing on the side,
for fun, you know. No, I'm actually me, Trevor Smith, and a guy named Joe. We're doing like a little 3-piece country thing, playing
that's
90s
cool.
country. So.
Yeah. But you and Johnny get together and do things every now and then on the side when Despite the Fallen is off whatever. But so you have gone through some lineup changes.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm the only original member left. So.
You are. That's right. Good for you.
Right.
That's something worth
doing. I mean,
knowing.
Honestly, though, all the members we've had have been great people.
Right.
I consider them great friends if they're there
just
or not.
Moved on.
Without them,
life
without them, you know, we wouldn't be where we are now. You know? So.
And again, you know, before we rolled, you know, obviously Matt Davis was in the band.
Yeah, it just passed 3 years since his death the other day. So.
And that was something that Johnny and I touched on when we did his podcast. And I was really applauding you guys for not only the way you handled it, but the fact that you did carry on and you went forward and moved on. And obviously he would have wanted that to happen.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He's all about music. So.
I recall meeting you guys for the first time, and obviously Sam and... and Tim were a pivotal part of the sound. But being in the band for this long, I mean, obviously, you're a songwriter.
I am, yeah.
The sound is very much your own, and it hasn't necessarily changed as far as what you all sound like. But obviously, the songs have evolved since Johnny's come in.
Yeah.
His vocal ability, his songwriting ability very much shows. Have you moved away from the original songs that you all wrote and recorded into a new dimension, or are you staying true to the songs that were recorded for that release?
Honestly, I mean, it's whatever we write. I mean, if it sounds good, we go with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we're not really trying to stay to just one sound. I mean, it grows out further away.
It does, but I mean, as far as like, because going on this long and plus the member changes, have you put certain songs down and moved forward with new songs?
Yeah, I mean, there's some old ones that we don't play no more. There's also a couple of old ones we're actually about to bring back as well.
Okay,
so,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
You did an album.
Yeah.
And is that the only thing that you've released?
Yeah, sadly.
Okay, and when did that come out?
It was, I think, about 2 years ago now.
Okay.
So
2017, 2016, something like that?
Yeah, it was 2016 maybe.
You made a video for, was it Stone?
Stone, yeah.
And that was shot in Scottsville.
Yeah, at the Haunted Hospital.
The Haunted Hospital.
Yeah.
That's such a cool place. I mean, I think Grandchild just recently shot some video there, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure they shot that. I think they shot it at a prison or something.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Well, it looked really similar. I just literally, this was like last night I saw the picture.
It was a pretty awesome video, though.
It was cool. I haven't seen the video yet, but I saw a photograph
of
their instruments, like one of the...
Yeah, it's a really good video.
Sorry about that,
Grandchild. I've known those guys for years.
Yeah.
They're great guys.
So, before we get into more like detailed band stuff, I guess, as a sound man and someone involved in the music scene, booking shows and stuff, who are some of your favorites out there? Like, who are you a fan of?
Man. Like, band-wise or what?
Just in general. Like, you know, are you a fan of any particular band or artist?
I'm a fan of a lot of the locals around here, you know, like Kiss Kiss Bang. They're all good buddies of mine, Beyond Education, Grandchild. Like I said, I started out watching like Sixth Floor and stuff in the scene, and Jalam and Chase Elaine, you know, and the list goes on for days, man.
It really can. You can really get into it. When you book bands to perform at Dublin's, or do you book them? Or
I no longer book.
You used to book.
I used to book Thursdays out there, but I mean, it was hard to get people out on Thursday night.
It comes and goes. Yeah. I think it's in a wave thing. Which, they always blame it on the college town.
Back in the day, Thursday used to be the night to be out in Melbourne.
It used to be. I think the tide has shifted with this new generation. They're content with just staying home and drinking craft beer and playing video games.
Yeah.
Live music doesn't seem to capture them like it does.
Plus, somebody's always going Facebook Live, so they ain't got to leave the house to your shows.
Yes, I've had that conversation with a lot of people. I think a lot of clubs are getting concerned about that. What are you going to do? Set up a camera system and charge pay-per-view to have bands, or fans tune in to watch their band? Like, I'm not going to drive all the way down there, but I'll pay 50 cents online to watch them live.
It's crazy. I saw where the game Fortnite like had a live concert on it or something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that just kind of shows the tide of things crazy, changing. Man. It's weird.
There's nothing better than a live show.
So. Yeah, that's true. You are part of that dying generation, I think, of people that still get it,
Yeah.
But you're out there in it, and with all of those bookings, I mean, you've seen some good stuff.
I have, man. Met some
from the soundboard,
great
even,
people along the way.
Yeah. So you were booking at the factory?
No, I was just going.
Or no,
shows
just
in.
You were just going.
That's
kind of
where I got into the, I guess you'd call it, the Bowling Green scene.
Right.
I know it was in Cave City, but
yeah.
It's all,
well, it does. All, I think when we talk about the Bowling Green scene, it does incorporate Cave City and Morgantown and Glasgow, of course, and Franklin, and you just kind of can do a little.
Yeah.
Thing around this area.
I mean, Kentucky music scene in general is just awesome, if you ask me. I used to go to a lot of shows in Louisville at Tech World. I don't know if you remember that place or not.
I remember the name.
Yeah.
I'm the Toy Tiger generation.
Toy Tiger, okay. See, I never got to go there, but
I'm old.
I hear a lot about that place, though.
Oh, it was interesting. I guess you're not really necessarily a fan of certain people. So to speak, like you were just saying, just certain bands you're friends with. And
like I said, I've made so many friends in the scene,
Yeah. What is your take on the scene today?
Today? I think it's still alive and kicking,
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to get people out to shows, no doubt. But if you space it, what can we kind of do? We kind of space out when we play Bowling Green,
Right.
I mean, if you play it every weekend, you're going to just lose people back each show. But.
Yeah, I guess they get to that point where they've seen you once, they've seen you 100
times.
Yeah,
especially when you're playing the same set list.
Yeah. Well, you guys did take a break for a little bit as far as currently speaking.
Yeah, we did.
You've had, again, a lineup change.
Yeah,
you got a new bass player recently.
We did.
And I got to see you, I guess it was his debut show. Was it Tidballs?
Yeah.
It was you guys and Wolf Island Cosmonauts and Mundane Nation.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And it was great. I mean, and I had talked to Johnny prior to that show, and he was like, oh, man, this guy is the perfect fit. Like, his gear, his sound, his style. So, Todd Hogan on drums, who is in Despite the Fallen, aside from yourself today?
Well, it's Johnny Walker.
He's Scottish.
Mason Kessler. Brandon, he's the new bass player.
Brandon, the new guy.
The new guy. The only one was the new guy, right? And Dustin, he's on guitar. He's fairly new as well.
But. Right. Yeah, you have had some guitar change recently.
Yeah. The drummer never changes, though.
No. It's solid. So that's who's in the band as of current day.
Yes.
Hopefully this will last, because
I
know you guys have been recording.
Yeah, we're working on, we've been doing like pre-production stuff.
You've not got anything like nailed down?
Not yet. We've been writing and, piecing it all together, getting it ready for studio. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll see the studio in the next month or two. So.
Yeah. But you did release the one album. How many songs were on that?
It was seven songs.
Seven songs?
So it was an EP. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a title to it, or was it self-titled?
It was Isolated.
That's right. Yeah. I knew. Yeah. See, I didn't do my homework coming into this. You know why? Because I never got it. I was supposed to get a copy, and I never did.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, well.
But you did do the one music video, mentioned earlier, and that was a great video. It was really well done.
We did it with 254 Productions.
Yeah.
They actually shot it with cell phones. That's the crazy thing about it.
That is cool.
It's like the Galaxy S7, I believe.
Yeah.
So
that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, the quality is phenomenal.
Yeah,
I mean,
it looks really good. I was pretty shocked when I saw the outcome of it. So.
Now, they also have shot stuff for, like, memory, right?
Yeah, and, well, Brandon, he's actually does the videos. He's
oh, that's
the,
him.
He's the bass
okay.
player, yeah.
I've never met him. I know who he is, but I don't think we've ever met before.
Right.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, they're good people, too, man.
So. Yeah. And you've done some shows with memory, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's good. You do seem to have, like, certain bands in this area you all really team up with well. Like, you complement each other on musically. And like I said recently with the Wolf Island Cosmonauts and Mundane Nation, I know you got another show coming up with Wolf.
It's Mundane Nation and Versus out of Louisville.
Versus, okay. Yeah. I knew Mundane Nation was on the bill, but I couldn't remember if Cosmonauts were on it. What else is in store in the future? Obviously, you like you said, you're working your pre-production kind of thing, but you don't really have any kind of deadlined time frame of like an album or an EP coming out.
Like I said, we hope to have it out as soon as possible. You know, I know people's itching for it. I mean,
well, but again, you just recently got these new guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that
it takes
old.
Step back.
Yeah. Still kind of learning and feeling everything.
Yeah, it's. It's hard when you have to replace people. You know as well as anybody, but
I do. I know very well. I was told this funny joke to some people. I don't think I've ever told you this, but people would see me going through all of these things, losing band members, bands quitting, bands falling apart. And it would become a joke. It's like, Dean must be a real asshole. And I started saying, well, look at how many people have been in Despite the Fallen. Todd's not an asshole.
I'm pretty sure I've been labeled it a couple times, but it's all good.
But it just goes to show that dedication and vision, strong vision, you have that.
Yeah, I mean, you all have to be a one.
You have not given up.
I haven't. I don't plan to. So.
And it shows. I mean, you guys really got a good thing, because I can say that with confidence because I was there.
Right.
I was in the crowd at Tidballs and I got to witness this new lineup. But to me, it's not really about the old and the new guys. It is about the fact that this band is solid, the name is still relevant, and you have really good songs.
Definitely,
and you've
appreciate
got
it, man.
A great sound, and obviously Johnny is an incredible vocalist. And put it all together, Despite the Fallen is very strong and very much alive. And what do you see in store in the future for that?
You know, I mean, hopefully we continue with members staying a lot longer. Than
everyone in the band now needs to stay. There needs to be some sort of contract.
But I mean, our writing only gets better each day, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we come in the room, you know, somebody have a little idea, and we go with it, and it turns into... You know, something
a hot
great.
Mess.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you get those ones where you're just like, yeah, we ain't doing that no more.
But. Yeah. That's cool.
But, I mean, we definitely want to put out this next album and, you know, definitely want to look into touring. And.
Well, yeah, now that the band is finally, I mean, because it did seem like for a while there was a little bit of a hiatus.
Yeah.
And, again, when I talked to Johnny during his episode, I mentioned that I was one of those people that was started after a certain time. It was like, are they even still together? Because there was nothing really being said. He was doing a lot of solo shows.
Right.
And you obviously were at Dublin's all the time. I would run into you every now and then and just say hi and crossing. And I mean, it was like nothing was ever really said about Despite the Fallen, but you are.
Yeah,
you emerged from the ashes, and there you are. So
yeah, just kind of a quiet time every now and then, you know.
But again, with the lineup changes and things of that,
we're not one band to really put our business out in the public like some people do. Yeah. But I mean,
like
to each their own.
He was talking about me. Well, I've been a fan of you guys ever since the beginning. Obviously, I've been there since the beginning.
Right. I mean, we wouldn't have our first shirt.
And I still have the original T-shirt from the original design. And
made yourself one.
Every time I wear it and get photographed in it, it's the one time you'll comment on anything I post on Facebook. Nice shirt.
Oh, that ain't true.
It's totally true. But yeah, that was a cool meeting. And I also met Johnny around the same time because he was in a band that was opening for you guys one night.
Yeah, yeah.
Like before he was, Sound Mind opened for you guys, and I came to that show.
I actually booked them, I think, one of our first shows in Bowling Green. Yeah.
So yeah, you've been in the music scene here for a long time.
I have. I'm old.
Yeah. But Smiths Grove was where you were at for a while.
Yeah.
You're finally living here.
Yep.
But that still counts as part
of it. Finally moved in town to be closer to everything, so it's a lot easier
to get
that way.
To work. So, where do we go from here? Have I missed anything? Have I forgotten anything?
I don't believe so.
Did you want to say hi to anybody or call anybody out?
Nobody care about listening to me anyways.
You want to talk about drumming? Because I haven't talked to many drummers.
Yeah, we can talk about some drumming.
I haven't really talked about drums with anybody.
Really, I'm not the greatest one out there or nothing.
I think you're pretty good.
I appreciate that.
You're a solid drummer. You're the type of drummer that plays for the song.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not flashy.
I'm all about entertainment.
Show off. You don't do all these amazing fills and twirl sticks and all that shit.
I do some twirling and some stick tosses here and there, but I don't overdo it.
Here and there. Not every other beat.
I'll stand up during some certain songs and stuff. Yeah.
Now, you have, if I'm not mistaken, the Vinnie Paul signature snare. Am I correct?
No.
That was not yours.
That's not mine.
Okay, so one night, I think I played, it was like a house kit. Like, everybody was sharing the same drums.
Yeah.
So, was that Johnny's? Johnny Hodge? Is that his snare?
That probably was his,
okay.
I believe, yeah.
Because it was on your kit, and I was like, oh, my God, they got the Vinnie Paul snare.
I actually have a Mapex Steelhammer, which I love it.
You got that. Yeah. Okay. And your drums are
PDP,
that's
X7
right.
series. Yeah,
yeah, Pacific
I've
drums.
I've had them for going on 6 years. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like, you're one of those. Most drummers seem to like get rid of kits quickly.
Yeah.
Like, they play it for a year and get rid of it.
I just love the sound of them, so they sound good.
I mean, it's got the deep bass drum on it.
Yeah,
it's like an 18, I think.
Yeah.
18 by 22 or something like that. It's a
cannon.
No, you have had the same drums for a long time, and that's cool.
That's because I'm poor. But.
No, it's because they're good, you know. They're not junk.
Yeah.
But I am used to seeing Todd on stage with those red colored drums.
Yeah, they got some dings on them, but that shows the battle marks.
Character. Yeah, exactly. That means they're getting used.
Which, like, recently, I've had that Despite the Fallen head on there for ever since we started, and it got busted in a trip, so we gave it away on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
I kind of wanted to keep it, but I was like, well, it's just a drum head, but it might mean more to somebody else than it does me.
Yeah, when you break stuff, you just like, who wants it? Diehard fans are always
a lot of people, and we got a lot of response. So.
Yeah. That's cool, man. That was cool that you all did that. You do have a lot of fan base, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Between Bowling Green and Louisville, it seems like you've done fairly well on fans.
Yeah,
and
we've played like Jackson.
I mean, to have one
Jackson, Tennessee
album released, you know,
just one
like
album.
You've done again like more of a roots way of gaining a fan base.
Right.
You're not just putting out anything.
Yeah.
You know, you're going out there and you're earning a live.
Yeah.
Audience by being a live band.
With past members, we released tracks, but we never released like a full album of stuff, you know. So
right.
It was good to finally get one out there, you know.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it came out right at the time of change.
Yeah.
Again, you know,
it's.
But you still play songs off of that record, right?
Yeah, we do. We kind of had to, man.
Yeah.
We'll be stuck with Stone forever, I'm sure.
That'll be the one you play 20 years from now.
Yeah, like over 100,000 views on YouTube now. So.
I'm telling you, it's a great song, but it's a great video. Yeah, you totally just ruined the podcast, kicking the table. It's a really good song, but I know that, I mean, obviously all of your songs are good. I mean, I just recently caught you guys at Tidballs and played some new material.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it was just like, man, these guys are good. They're just... No matter who's been in this band with you, I've always been impressed. I've never lost faith in it as being, well, it was good when this guy was in it. And no disrespect to anyone from the past, but
right.
I mean that sincerely. As a fan in the audience, watching this band change over time, it has always been musically solid.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. I mean, no doubt, you know, when you lose a member, you lose certain people.
Yeah.
Like, come to shows and stuff. But,
and you guys
have
gone through some tragic stuff.
We also have people that's been there since day one. They ain't quit coming either. So,
yeah.
I mean.
It says something, though.
It does.
It really does. So, yeah, again, I mean, you are a Bowling Green-based band, so to speak, but you've really gotten out there and earned your fan base. So,
yeah, I mean, we put a lot of hard work into it, no doubt.
Yeah. So, where do we go from here?
Hey, you don't want the questions,
guys. I'm out of questions. I've asked everything I needed to ask. Anything you need to add to this before we wrap it up?
I don't know. Should I ask you a question? What should
I mean, if you want me to answer questions, sure. But I have totally covered your life's history.
Pretty much.
Musically,
yeah. We won't get into personal stuff.
No. This is about music. I do not touch on anything outside of that.
But yeah, I mean, I've always just been into the local scene a lot. You know, I love the music that's being played around here. Yeah. And, you know, it's even greater people you meet along the way, you know, so.
It's definitely a good scene.
It is.
And we're very fortunate to be here. I've covered this time and time again. I mean, we not only have great bands, we have great venues, we have
great sound guys, yeah. Like Wade Ford.
Of course.
Jake Ritchie, you know.
Wade Ford's awesome. Jake's awesome.
You got Brian, you know. So.
I mean, yeah, we could do an episode on sound guys. But the venues have come and gone, but there's always been certain ones that have stood and lasted.
Like on Morgantown Road.
Yeah. Whatever the name is. Whichever name you want to go
with. Which is nothing now, which is kind of sad to see. But.
It is a empty building in between a liquor store
and a gas
station.
You should open it.
Dude, I'm not. No. I'll tell you one thing I'll never do is own a venue.
I mean, you never thought you'd be a radio host either, though.
I'm not hosting a radio. This is a podcast.
Well, it's still radio.
And it's temporary, apparently. I think I have a shelf life. I just don't know what it is. Well, Todd, thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me, man.
And I look forward to what Despite the Fallen's got going in the future. And keep doing what you're doing. You are very much, again, a part of the Bowling Green music scene on and off stage. So thank you for that. I, as a musician that has performed in Dublin's with you running sound, I appreciate you as a sound man. And as a drummer, I am a fan of you as a drummer.
I'm a fan of yours as well. So.
Ah, you're just saying that because I'm sitting here.
I mean, I can say the same about you. But.
But thanks for doing this, and keep up what you're doing.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks.